Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my fabulous co-host, Veronica Entwistle. Hi, Ronnie.
Hi, Jackie. Hello, everybody.
Am I sounding hollow, Veronica?
You do, deep down.
No, seriously.
Yeah, you do sound a little bit hollow, but you can be heard, so.
Okay, good.
Okay.
We have company in the healing room tonight, so other than extraterrestrials, we have human company.
We have terrestrial company.
There you go. All right, tonight's show, God's Got My Back. This is really it's going to be a fun show. Also, when I sent out the show announcements, I really wanted everybody to pay special attention to the Hathor Planetary Message, which talked a lot about parallel dimensions and jumping timelines. And I hope
I
all of you
printed that out today.
I'm sorry?
I printed that out today. I was going to study it.
Absolutely a phenomenal piece. And it really brings up so much of the things that we've been talking about in the shows that it there, and I got it sent to me from two different people, and I was so excited when I read it. So for all of you who got the show announcements, please take the time to print it out and read it. It's so worth and study it. I mean, because I've got the whole thing underlined. It was just brilliant.
So we can do it, right?
Oh, absolutely. Well, and like I said, all the shows have really been talking about so much of the material in there, which has really excited me. And this was a channeling from the Hathors and I can't remember his name, sorry.
Tom Kenyon.
But love the Hathors, love their work, love what they bring through. I actually took someone to work with the Hathors during a session once. And this was somebody who worked with Lazarus for like 25 years. And she went so far out, it took her till 8 o'clock. We had a 10 o'clock session. It took her till 8 o'clock at night to come back.
Wow.
So I don't take people to work with the Hathors anymore. Okay, so dedication to assistance for Mother Earth. Folks, she's really calling again. Big, long calls. For our love and light. So taking a few minutes every day to visualize, if you can go into a meditative state, even a light meditative state, holding the earth in your hands and sending light into her grid, into the crystalline grid, or if you're doing the chakra activation technique, you can do it from the chakra below the feet. For those of you that have the crystalline implants in your eyes, you can send the energy through the implants, as many of the ETs are doing. So please, do whatever you can. Okay. Last week's show, Recognizing Familial Imprints. Wow, this one, did it show up for you this week, Veronica, and with any of your people?
I guess I didn't look at that too much, but I had company all week. So I didn't do as many readings. But yeah, actually, yes, it did. Yes, it did. I'm trying to think of what of any example. You got me off guard. I don't have an example here.
I'm sorry. I didn't get the notes off you because I was running so late tonight myself.
Oh, that's the problem. We're fudging around trying to find them.
Oh, okay. No notes. I couldn't get them out.
Okay.
Okay, the reason I bring this up is I worked with a couple of people this week who are related, and it was very interesting how this familial imprint came through the family. So this was third generation. And what was interesting was that both the mother and the grandmother, their responses to it, you know, because it's more than just the layer of the imprint itself, but it's also our responses to the imprint, because we tend to take on guilt, frustration, all kinds of emotions over this when we see it surface, you know, with children and grandchildren. And, you know, the truth is that everybody has done the absolute best that they can. Nobody understood what imprints were, you know. And even if we did, we certainly couldn't have stopped them. But, you know, I just want to bring up for everybody that, that heard the show last week that there's more than just the imprint itself. It's our response to any specific thing that may show up. And I will, let's see if I can give an example would be within my family, myself, my daughter, my mother, my granddaughter. What's been interesting is relationships with men and how that runs through the entire family. And I really had to sit down and think about my mother's relationship with men and where that went south, and my grandmother's relationship with men and where that went south. And I remember my mother stating to me, well, we didn't need your father. You know, it was kind of one of those. I mean, she really, I thought it was really interesting. And so there's this desire to have a man, which I always saw in her, but then once they get them, not wanting to keep them. And I thought that this was very, very interesting. So the distortions, and you can see them play out throughout the whole my whole family, the distortions in terms of relationships with men.
Is it directly on the feminine side or the your mother's lineage?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely through the mother's lineage, through the grandmother's lineage. And what was interesting to me is that all the women, I can't speak for myself because it's been so long now, only in the past, but how there is a change once in relationship, that they're very powerful women. They get into relationship, and then there's this fear that the man will abandon them and so on. So there's this huge, in the chain of pain, this huge issue with men. And so the relationships are never just nice and solid and loving and so on and so forth. They're always very extreme. And, of course, we've got a whole line of very powerful women. And but anyway, as we see this play out, and, you know, it's easy to go into guilt and shame and all kinds of things, but the goal, of course, is to be more constructive with it, not go there, and also the big one is to allow each person in the family to walk their own path through this experience. Everybody's job is to heal that lineage within themselves. It will ripple out. But I did want to bring this up because I had some people say, well, what do we do with it once we identify it? You know, and I could feel the frustration in people. And it really, the reason we did the show was to help people to understand that it exists and, you know, that through your own personal clearing and healing, you can impact back and forward, including children, grandchildren, etc. So did you have anything you wanted to say on that? Because I know the team talked with you. Have no idea what they said, but I know they were chatting with you.
Yeah, they were talking about, and I noticed it in myself. They were talking a lot about how in the lineage on my mother's side, that there was a striving for recreating a success in life because so there's a kind of a drive because my grandmother on my mother's side, my mother's mother came from a family that were raised in finishing schools and so on and ended up being very poor. And that my mother would have a drive to get beyond and was absolutely driven to get beyond what she thought was a lower life. So there's a huge drive that's come down, and that my way of healing the family was a little different. It was trying to, because Mom was so distressed and upset, and I was extremely stretching to make myself move beyond all those limitations and figure out how it worked and how to understand it. And I think that's kind of how it was. And
all right.
But that touched me all week because I kept thinking about a drive I have, and it's an ambition, but it isn't always a material ambition, you know?
Beautiful. Beautiful.
But it helped to put some compassion into my history as well. You know what I mean? Sort of helped me understand how hard they drove themselves.
I think that that's so important. It's also given me compassion, even with my own mother, recognizing where hers came from when the father abandoned them and so on. And so where she basically, hardened herself to men and used them to get what it was she needed. And I thought it was very interesting so that she wouldn't emotionally attach.
She would weaken herself, eh?
Sorry?
She wouldn't weaken herself, if that's how she perceived
it. Well, make herself vulnerable, I would say, more than... And weaken herself is probably a good one as well. But she was tough.
But she wouldn't want to be made vulnerable then, if you'd prefer it, say, you know what I mean? She would want to keep herself strong.
Strong, and when I watched her in terms of her relationship with men, it was very much about having a man, but not being in love or loving a man. It was very interesting. So, and I can't say that that was true for me because I, you know, I was in love, but, you know, I'm a lover. Okay, so.
I just want to say one other thing. It sort of hit me that, for example, Jack Purcell, who channels Lazarus, remember Lazarus said that he'd been in training for thousands of years for that. And so I'm going, well, these imprints, it's just an example that those imprints are not just in our little family lineage, and those they come from a long way, like maybe we've been trained for a long way to come up being intuitive through this bashing around of the various imprints and
and I mentioned this last week, there is no question there are all kinds of other influences, Veronica, that we're dealing with and that everybody that's listening tonight is dealing with. Mm-hmm. You know, we were just specifically dealing with a familial chain of pain, okay? Not necessarily going out into, you know, the as you would call your cellular journey or other lifetimes or any of that, because all of that plays in as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets very complex, doesn't it?
It really does. It's quite a weaving, isn't it? Quite an intricate little thing.
And, you know, people are never as simple as we think they are, and life is not as simple as we think it is. It's very complex. So let's talk about God and how God's got our back. I love this one. And the importance of trust in God got us all that is, and the miracles that trust that trust can create in your life. You know, historically, people have beseeched God, oh, God, help me, oh, God, please, God, etc. But it's the trust in God, and I think that this is the part that we miss somewhere along the line, which is hard to hold considering we've had thousands of years of not being able to trust God, where people were tortured and killed and so on and so forth, all in the name of God. When you're in a state of trust, your resonance becomes pure and high with color and tone, and you shine throughout the universe, creating a bubble of love and attraction. Now, the energy of that, of having that absolute, complete trust, whether you call it God or God, Goddess, all that is, the infinite, the creator, the one, whatever names you use, God doesn't care. That I can tell you for sure. But what happens in being in that level of trust, being able to say, God's got my back, and really believing it, really trusting it, changes your resonance in a way that is so stunning that you literally, and the team kind of showed me this week how when you look down, you can actually see the beings who are vibrating and shining in that trust, which I thought was really fascinating. And so they become absolute attractors of all that's good in the universe because they are in this incredible state of trust and have such a high resonance. One of the important things is that you can't do it to get something. Does that make sense to you?
Yep, can't bargain.
In other words, it's not like you can say, okay, well, I'm going to trust God here because I really need a new car or a house or a boyfriend or a husband or,
and look,
you know,
at this, God, I am trusting you. Cop it up, yeah.
Well, because then we get into the bargaining. And I'll talk about bargaining in a minute because that's probably one of my favorite subjects here. The other thing is that God's got everybody's back if they will allow it. It's not like, you know, you would look out and say, well, God's only got this person's back or God takes special care of that person. There is no such thing. Absolutely, positively not. And when you look around and see people whose lives appear to be quite blessed, you can count on the fact that they've done a lot of work and that they're either running on an absolutely pure level of trust and keeping the resonance high. And generally when you see people who have lots of blessings, they tend to be very loving, very happy, very upbeat, and in a state of trust. Wouldn't you agree, Ronnie?
Yes, I think so. I'm just thinking about whether I agree with that. Yeah,
well,
I think I'm a...
Look at your
own life. What?
Look at your own life.
Well, yeah, ours is really precious right now, and I guess we are living in a state of trust. I was just thinking about my legend, which is kind of pockmarked, you know.
Well, don't go back that far. Go to the next one.
That's what happened. But, yeah, we're more in a state of trust, and it's very beautiful.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. And along with that trust comes gratitude.
Mm-hmm. You bet.
I think another piece of this is trusting that everyone's path is perfect, even if we don't understand it. Or, as often happens, where we love these people and want to see their life better, and we get into the fix-it mode, you know, if they'd only do this, if they'd only do that, and go back to the trust that they have their own guides, they have their own things to learn while they're here, and that they
make
learn
their own choices about whether what to listen to as well, okay?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's called unsolicited advice. You know? And it's interesting in the Hathor piece, they talk about, I think it's in that one, I don't know, I read so much stuff this week, about how it actually builds karma to interfere in somebody's life.
Hmm.
We really don't have the right to do that, which I think is really quite fascinating.
I've heard that for years, but I'm just wondering, how do you define interfering in someone's life? Because essentially, we do all the time anyway. I mean, we activate one another.
Interference, and you know,
and you and I sure do.
but people are listening to us. If they're not listening to us, it's different. We're not stopping people on the street and telling them what to do.
No, we certainly aren't.
All right, there is a level of permission. And only then do we have the right to share whatever truth that we're sharing.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham has talked about it many times, that even with children, if they don't ask for your advice, then you really don't have the right to give it, which I think is really interesting. Now, there's a difference in raising children in terms of, you know, teaching manners and setting goals and this kind of thing. But you know, I've had children that really did not want to hear what I had to say. I have one that doesn't want to hear it, and then I have one that does. So back to God. Beseeching does not work, and this is something else. Oh, dear God, please, 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 please help me. It doesn't work. Trust me, I've tried it. I tried it.
See, God, if you'd only do this, then I'll do that.
Well, and I did that one, too. That was the bargaining chip.
Yeah.
I spent a year asking God to take away my emotional pain. And it didn't go away because there was a reason for me to experience the pain. I mean, I can look at it in retrospect and understand it. And it was for me to grow. And I had to make changes. But I also tried the bargaining, which was, if you'll just take away the pain, I'll give up everything I'll own. I'll go live in an ashram. I'll heal people for free. You know, I tried it all. Didn't work. And the message I always got was suffering is optional. And I'm like, great. Well, tell that to my heart. So there's a great story that And Veronica, I don't know if you were at this intensive or not. And I don't remember which one it was. I don't know if it was the first or second one, which was years ago.
I think I've been at the mall.
We were talking about, you have been at the mall?
I think so. Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, this is a story that Michael told. And we were doing some work around forgiveness with God. And he told me the story, and then I asked him to share it with everybody there. And I'll try not to screw this story up. The story was about an old woman, a poor old woman who had three daughters, and she wanted to take them around the world. And the daughters, of course, objected and said, but Mom, you have no money. There's no way you can go. We can go around the world. It'll never work. And she said, but I trust God, and God will get us there. And so they found a job aboard a ship, etc., and every port that they went to, every place that they went, they found odd jobs. They were always fed and housed. And they always found transportation, and they managed to go around the world. Because this woman had such complete, absolute trust in God. And this is one of my favorite stories in the whole world. Because I think it's such a wonderful example of the difference in the trust in God versus any other way that we perceive God. Because that's the way that God touches our lives, is through that trust. When I got cancer for the first time, and I knew this was between me and God, there was no question about it. And I had no money, no insurance, and so on. And I said, okay, God, I trust. I absolutely know that this is my big lesson. This is the big one. Before whatever's supposed to happen to me, this is the big one. And I completely trusted. I stayed in the now moment. I loved the tumor. I waited 2 weeks for surgery. The doctor charged me $880 for a four-hour surgery. Somebody paid half my hospital. The corporation I was doing consulting for paid for everything. I actually made money on this surgery. And not through their insurance plan, but they just paid it. And it was on future work that I had to do, which I did. But it was so magical. But I was in such a complete, absolute state of trust. And, you know, if you could go back and redo anything, the trust that I had during that time and my desire to love the tumor, even though they wanted to take it out right away, and I said, give me 2 weeks, let me love it and work with it. And, I mean, everything that happened around that was so magical. Absolutely, completely magical. And it really taught me about trusting God. There was no way that anybody who was around me could miss it either, because it was a phenomenal experience. All the things that we've talked about, including resonant reality and so much more, have all come into play with all of this trusting God. I have a friend that always says, and I've talked about it on the air, that God's got her back. And she's been through some hellacious things in the last couple of years. And no matter how it looked to us, her friends, and we felt that her husband took terrible advantage and so on, she would always say, God's got me back. It wouldn't be happening if it wasn't supposed to. It's really okay. God's got my back. And everything she needed, as she needed it, has been provided and taken care of. It's been beautiful to watch her life. But she lives it all the time. And even when fear comes up around money or whatever, she immediately goes back to God's got my back. So I'll tell one more story here. And then, I died in 96 or 97. I'm one of those people. I'm like a bad penny. I just keep turning back up. And I was really out of it. There was no way I could really function. But my daughter needed to move to California, so I helped her move to California. I was living in Las Vegas at the time. And I got there, and it was so beautiful. And I said, okay, Goddess, if I'm supposed to be here, please make it so clear I can't miss it. And I had to be there 2 weeks to help my grandson get into school and so on. So my granddaughter and I were out running along the beach, and she said, I want to see what the Monterey Bay looks like from up there. It was on the cliff. So we ran up the stairs. Obviously, I was in better shape. We ran up the stairs and came to what we thought was a vacation rental and opened the gate, because the vacation rentals are usually rented on the weekend, and during the week they weren't. And it appeared to be empty, and I opened the gate, and there was a man standing right there, and I was like, oh no. And he told me to come on in. And I thanked him profusely, and I said, I'm so embarrassed. And I told him why I was there, that my granddaughter was with me, and how much I loved it. The town was called Aptos, which is between Santa Cruz and, you know, Aptos, certainly.
I sure do, yeah.
Between Santa Cruz and Carmel. And I told him I'd just help my daughter move there and so on. And he was sitting, his house sat right on the cliff overlooking the whole bay. And he said, I want you to come in and take a look at my house. And I said, why? He said, just do it. So we went inside and walked through the house, and it was so charming. And we got to the ocean room, which was all glass, looking out over the bay. And it took my breath away, and I stopped there, and he said, you realize you have to be spiritual to live here. And I said, oh, yes, I do. I said, I can feel it in the house. And so he said, okay, I want you to come over tonight. I'll be gone. I'll leave the door unlocked. You spend the night. Tomorrow morning, get up, wash the sheets, put them back on the bed, lock the door. Then you call me and decide if you want to live here. And I said, what? He said, I'll leave it turnkey, dishes, paintings, everything from, you know, sheets, bedding, everything, just like it is right now. And I was like, oh, my God. And it was such a shock, because I had just asked the night before to please make it so clear I couldn't miss it. So the next day I called him and said, I'm going to do it. I don't know how I'm going to make all this happen, but I'm going to do it. So I went home, sold everything, literally everything, except for my crystals, my books, and some paintings. Came back, moved in, and I had some real estate notes that were coming due, that were owed to me, big commissions on a large property in Las Vegas. And I was in 30 days, and the note defaulted. So I had to call him up and tell him I had to move out, that I didn't have the money to pay him. And he said, you've got something of value. And I said, I swear to you, I have nothing. That was it. And there was somebody else that owed me like $100,000 that was supposed to pay me the money as well, and that it refused. As soon as I told them they were going to do it, and as soon as I got there, they changed their mind. So I literally had no money. And so it's a great story, actually. He said, and I told him the note had defaulted, and he said, fax me over a copy of the note, which I did. And he called me a day later. He had taken to a title company. I had dropped into ownership on the property, and it was a casino property. It surrounded a casino. And I was like, in all my years in real estate, I've never heard of such a thing. But the title company constructed the note so that, because they didn't like him, and he pulled a fast one at closing, the seller. And so they slipped that in. And I had dropped into ownership. So what he offered to do was to lend me the money to live for the rest of my lease, which was 8 months, and take the rent out of it. And then when the property sold, I would pay him back with interest. So I lived in that house and meditated for a total of 9 months. And here was a perfect case of God, Goddess, all that is, had my back. I mean, it was such a miracle.
Wow.
So, how about you, Ronnie? I know you've got stories about God having your back.
I hadn't thought of it that way, but when I decided to, this is funny, I went on a 4-month walkabout trying to move out of Sequim, Washington, and find out where I could live that would expand my energy field. So I drove all over the place for 4 months. And I, at one point I was in Sedona and I started to cry. I said to my guides and angels, this is just crazy. I can't stand it. I need to go get my daughter and I need to go home. And they yelled in my head, go south. And I said, no, I need to go north. And I heard, go south. So I drove south, drove into Tucson, and I knew I could just live there. And that wasn't quite the same, but it was pretty clear direction under duress. But the other thing is that I felt the whole time that I was doing the drive and the walkabout, I was growing and learning and being pushed through some kind of a knothole. I knew that. I could feel that. I could feel it the whole time that I was supposed to be doing that and I was supposed to be experiencing that growth, you know. And the final part was good.
Beautiful.
I think it was, actually. It's a bit funny to watch, but...
Well, I think that... Again, especially in these times on the planet right now, and again with this piece by the Hathors, talking about jumping timelines and aligning, that we're kind of at a crossroads right now, aligning with the dimension where the Earth itself is having a different experience and we will have a different experience, is very important. So, I think that all of this kind of, to me, coincides in many, many, many ways, that we are now looking at an entirely different way of being. And it's going to take a lot of faith and a lot of trust to get there.
And a lot of release.
Absolutely. Well, a release of outcomes. Yes, here we go back to being in the now moment.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely living in the now moment at all times. And that's not always the easiest thing to do, but it's absolutely necessary at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Trusting that no matter what comes our way, that it will be provided. Whatever we need will be provided when we need it.
And a lot of what comes our way is necessary for that, the next level to evolve, really.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Pretty sure about that these days in a very fast way. It's very fast these days. Processes used to take weeks and weeks. Now they take minutes and they can be excruciating.
Yes, they can. I think we're all going through those. And by the way, I did want to talk about the energies for this last week. Lauren Gorgo, who sends out, I don't remember what she calls hers, but she's such a kick. And she literally sent out a notice that said, look, I can't write right now. I am so flattened out by the energies that I can't even put out a newsletter. So please bear with me. Have you been feeling the energies very intensely?
Yeah, I have in a way. I'm not sleeping much right now, and that's always what happens to me. But yeah, it's moving pretty fast. Mm-hmm.
It's moving very, very intensely. And of course, we're getting all of these solar flares. So for all of you that are having any kind of discomfort right now, know that it's supposed to start turning around the middle of the month. So it's not going to be quite as intense, hopefully.
Sometimes I find that my mind is going so fast. I don't mean just like being hyperactive, but it's like everything is moving so much faster that I can... Sometimes it's fun because you can be more efficient, but sometimes I just can't even keep up with it.
So what you're saying is your mind has a mind of its own?
Yeah. Well, somebody amped it up, so it's going brrr, lots of ideas and stuff, but it's a bit much to handle.
All right. Okay, well, let's bring in the team. I may have a struggle with this phone when I do this, so... Veronica, you need to tell the team if, in fact, you're not hearing them, okay?
I will, yes. Thank you.
All right, good.
All right. So God's got your back, Veronica.
That's great to hear.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So good to be with all of you and with you, Ronnie.
Me too.
All right. Well, we think that this is a wonderful subject. We want to expand it a little bit, however. When the channel says God, God is all that he is, for those of you that may or may not know this terminology, you are talking about all of creation. Now, that all of creation includes everything you can imagine. The fairy realms, the Dedic realms, the earth spirits, the animal kingdom, all beings, every level, every dimension, every planet, every race. You all talk about these orbs, you know, appearing in photographs and so on. Everything is consciousness. It includes all of it. That is all that is. Now, for some of you, the term God is a limiting factor or brings up visions of some authoritative figure prone to outbursts of anger, punishment, arbitrary at best.
Hurling lightning bolts.
Lightning bolts, very good. Or the withholding of love. Now, you can all thank your religions for these beliefs because they're not true. That we promise you. That we promise you. Now, did people have experiences with what they perceived to be God? Or maybe extraterrestrials or beings of a higher dimension? Yes. Did they make them into a God? Yes. But that's not really God. We promise you that. So the first thing that you all need to do is rethink the way that you think about God and about God, Goddess, all that is, which is a more appropriate description of God. Bashar describes it as one atom moving so quickly that it's everything all at the same time. Everything, everywhere, every when. So when you call on God, a goddess, or all that is, you're actually calling on everything. If you understand that. All of creation. Not the limited old man in the white beard with a long white cloak and the, no. Not at all. And that's the reason that resonance has an important part to this. Because you're drawing to you that which you truly desire. Now, what happens to resonance, Ronnie, when you go into trust? What do you think happens to it?
I feel that you have a softness of defense and more of an expanded frequency.
And a level of attraction, don't you?
Yes.
Don't you expand your level of attraction?
Yes.
Dramatically.
It's almost a being of expectation instead of the actual.
There you go. There you go. A positive expectation. We want to qualify that.
Mm-hmm.
Positive expectation. This or something better. always allow the universe to put the little heart where the dot belongs above the eye. Do you understand that one?
Yes.
All right. This or something better. Now, we have one person, when they send their intentions, they ask all of their guides and God, Goddess, all it is, and everyone to bring these intentions forward or something better. We love that. Because they don't limit. They don't come in with just one hand open. Oh, please, could I have this? They come in with, as you said, the positive expectations that they live in a loving universe.
It's a flow, isn't it? It's the conveyor belt sort of thing.
That's exactly right. There is no limitation other than what you believe there is. And all the work we've done with all of you has been to help you let go of your senses of limitation. Let go of all of your limiting beliefs. I can't have this because I don't deserve that, or I could never get this, or whatever reasons you come up with. And you've all got a plethora of reasons. But you're learning to operate outside of limitations now, to create a reality that's extraordinary. Now, for some of you, you're still working with this. We're not saying everybody's done it. Don't misunderstand. But that's the goal. That's what you're all capable of. You are a part of God experiencing itself through and as you. Everything is your birthright. The way you get there is up to you. The way you get there is up to you. The limitations you put on yourself, your beliefs, attitudes, choices, decisions, thoughts, and feelings are up to you. And as we look at all of you, we can say, oh, goodness, well, they still believe that. All right. Well, free will. We don't want you to suffer, but we don't have the right to intercede if that's the choice you make, because you're on a planet of free will, free choice.
But even if we beg and plead and whine at you?
No, trust us, the channel has tried that. It does not work.
Oh, darn.
It wouldn't work for any of us, and we are all part of all that is. You see? Now, we've said this many times, we will join you in your positive goals. Now, when we say goals, we're not talking about a letter to Santa here. We're talking about taking steps all the time to create what it is you truly desire. Not forcing. We've talked about resonant reality. Not cause and effect. But changing your resonance to a level where you become such an attractor that this or something better becomes automatic. Automatic. Now, Veronica, we're going to put you on the spot. We love to do this.
You did that last week.
Well, it's because we love you and you're so easy to use for an example.
Thank you.
All right.
I bloomed from
actually,
it, so it's okay.
Compliment, yeah.
Thank you.
All right. For Veronica, what to you is God?
I think of it as the potential for creation and expansion in every fleck of life and everything.
All right. And what is your relationship with God?
I love God. I feel that really deeply.
So what you're saying, and we want you all to hear this, that you love everything.
In ways, yes, I do.
Good. The good, the bad, the ugly, it's all God.
Well, I get cranky about some of it.
Oh, that's what we were waiting to hear. And what parts do you get cranky about?
Oh, man's inhumanity to man, and torturing on the earth, and people being cruel to each other, and being afraid. And there's probably more, but...
All right, so what do you do about it?
Sometimes I drop my resonance, I know that, and get really cranky or get despair or so on. But I'm pretty good at moving out of it and getting clear.
Right. So what do you do that's helpful?
I try to see the God in everything. And I try to remember to affirm or visualize amazing potential and infinite possibility. I try to do that, but I say try only because sometimes I can't loft myself low enough. But that's where I head anyway. And I bring
in
light and energy.
That's good. Now, none of you have this one perfect. Please be clear.
And we do radio shows.
Sorry?
And we do radio shows.
And you do radio shows. What does that mean?
Oh, to help lift and...
Oh, yes, of course. Absolutely. We want to say this to all of you. You're not going to have it down perfectly. All right? You're not going to have it down perfectly. Theoretically, you can look at everything and say, look, it's all God experiencing itself through polarity, light and dark, good and bad, etc. Which is true. But this is only one potential reality when there are a myriad of other realities that you can align yourself to. Now you step up will, don't you?
Yes.
All right. What else can you do, Veronica? To assist those that are being treated less than and so on. You know the answer to this one.
Well, send energy, send love, respect. Pray.
Say it again.
Pray, send energy, send love, respect, and change myself.
And as much love and light as you can, mm-hmm. without judgment.
Mm.
Now that's the trick. That's the trick.
And isn't part of it to claim whatever we see that we don't like, claim that aspect in ourselves and shift that as well?
That's exactly right. That's very good.
Thank you.
Very good. Because your reality is a reflection of what's going on within all of you. Science, quantum physics has proven this over and over again. Reality spins out, and unfortunately, where you are right now, it's spun out in a very bad way. But you all have choices. Do read the article that the channel talked about. Very profound, giving you steps. And when you read the steps, you'll recognize them. because they include things we've talked about. All right. They include things we've talked about.
And we have only a short bit of time left.
All right, Veronica, talk about your shows.
Next week I'm going to rerun Galexis. We're talking about emergence as a species, and they're wonderful. As you know, they're friends of yours.
Oh, they are
wonderful.
Yes.
So I'm going to rerun an older show. But I also want to mention that Sunday, there's a thing called Earth Healing Day, and it's a worldwide meditation time from 12 to 1. And that's anywhere you are, whatever time zone you're in, and to actually join the uplifted voices. It can be an om or a chant of any kind or some kind of celebrative sound. But somewhere between 12 and 1 to be sending that healing sound around the planet. And you can read about it on earthhealingday.com.
All right. Beautiful.
Thank you.
All right, dear one. How much time do we have, please?
We probably have about 1.5 minutes, I'd say.
All right.
Let us go a teeny bit longer.
All right. We would love to work with all of you tonight. And when we say we, it will be a bigger we. To experience in the dream state God's love, we would ask all of you to pay attention tomorrow to where it shows up. And we do mean pay attention. And to pay attention over the next couple of weeks. And watch how you feel in the morning. And when we say God, we do mean God, Goddess, all that is. Now, we could call this a blessing, a cosmic kiss, a cosmic hug. But a sense that you are truly loved. And whatever you may be worried about right now, turn it over tonight. And know that God has got your back. And God, Goddess, all that is, loves you beyond anything you can imagine. Share that love with others, people. Find ways to share it. Strangers, passers-by. Remember that your kindness, your smile, your touch can change a person's day and sometimes their lives. Remember that you're a carrier of activation and radiance. Know that we love you. Veronica, we love you as well.
Thank you, and you.
We send to all of you our total, complete, unconditional love, and until we speak with you again in this format, namaste, everyone.
Namaste.
Are we on air?
Yes, we are.
Oh, good. All right, everybody. Veronica and I love you. Remember, a piece of every one of you is within us, and a piece of us is in every one of you, whether you like it or not. It can be no other way because we really are all one. We love you, and we'll talk with you next week. Thank you so much for tuning in, whether you do it in the archives or are listening live tonight. Ronnie, I love you.
Love you too, Jackie. Good night. Well, be happy.
Yes, absolutely. Good night.
Good night.